Good morning, everyone. We welcome all of our guests who are joining us this morning. We thank you for being here. We hope and pray that if you have not yet done so, you'll be willing to share your contact information with us so that we can continue to forge these bonds of fellowship. To our brethren, thank you all for your prayers. To the brothers who covered during my absence the pulpit, the instruction from here, I thank everyone, each and every one of you, for always being ready and always being diligent to do so. Same manner, I want to thank our elders for allowing me the opportunity to go out in the field, to be able to work in the soil, and to be able to spread the seed of the gospel to others in other areas of this great state. Thank you once more to everyone. If you will, please open your Bibles to the book of Judges. And we will be taking our thoughts this morning, beginning at chapter 13, verses 6 through 14. Judges chapter 13, beginning at verse 6. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine, thing or unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, 'Oh, my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born.' And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, 'Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me.' So Manoah rose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, 'Are you the man who spoke to this woman?' And he said, 'I am.' Manoah said, 'Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?' So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I have commanded her, let her observe.'" Will you please bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, may thy name be glorified and praised by the lips of thy saints throughout the entire world, always. Father, we are grateful for the health, the life, the time that thou have granted us. Father, as we begin this lesson, Lord, we ask that you allow us to put on hold the thoughts of this world, that our focus, Father, may be on thee and on thy word, that thou art the object of our worship, that thou art the being of our worship. And that, Lord, as we seek to give thee in spirit and in truth that which thou art deserving of, that we may do so not begrudgingly, but in a spirit of humility and with love. That, Father, through the example of Manoah and his wife, we, Father, may learn how, Lord, to raise a Nazarite. How, Father, today we too can raise those children that can be consecrated unto thee for thy service. Thus, Father, we ask that you allow us to have the humility to put aside our thoughts and our opinions so that we may listen to what thy word has to teach us in this instance. Forgive us, Father, when we have sinned against thee, and forgive us, Father, when we have not lived righteously in thy sight. For we pray this not because we are worthy, but we do it in the glorious name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before continuing, I was asked to announce, and I don't want to forget, the Teasley family is actually traveling. That's why they're not with us today. I believe Iris, they took her to be with her family. As we know, right now she's dealing with health issues. So if you will, please keep the Teasleys in your prayers as they are traveling to Florida. And when also it's time for them to return home so that they will have safe travels to and back. We have been studying the book of Judges. And in this book, we have learned many great lessons that we can tend or try to either emulate or avoid. For example, in the case of Gideon, we learned that we can be bold. That even though our faith may begin small, it will increase as long as we allow God to guide us. That we can be insistent in praying. And that when we ask God, as long as we acknowledge that He is the deliverer and we are simply the tools for such purpose, God will answer our prayers. And of course, we have to allow our faith to grow through it. But then we also learn from the example of Abimelech, the bramble among the trees. We learned about the fact that Abimelech shows us an example to avoid. He shows us that we must be careful whom we choose to guide us or to lead us. That we must be careful not to be the bramble ourselves, where we begin to pit brethren against their brethren for the sake of our own selfish gain. And so on and so forth, we've been taking lessons from this book that are still applicable to us today. But as we mentioned in our Bible study this morning, indeed, perhaps the most famous judge of all the judges found in this book is Samson himself. And it is sad because usually when we talk about someone being well known or being popular, if you will, it is not always for a good cause. If you will, for the example, Samson is most remembered for his evil counterpart, Delilah. We always remember how Delilah came to be Samson's downfall. But we're not going to get into that today. Perhaps we will get into it sometime in the near future. But what we want to see is the fact that the Bible declares that Samson was going to be a Nazarite from birth until his death, says Scripture. Now, we have to keep in mind and we have to remember that although Samson did eventually break the covenant by revealing the secret of his strength, the Bible does teach us there in Hebrews chapter 11 that he is included in the hall of faith. He obviously remained or returned and repented from his ways because we see that his hair, says Scripture, began to grow once again. And the way that his story ends, where he sacrifices himself for the sake of his people to be able to deliver them and finally achieve what was always his purpose, teaches us that in Samson, it's not how strong you begin, but how strong you finish your race. But notice the beginning of Samson has nothing to do with Samson directly himself. And this is why we've entitled our lesson this morning, Raising a Nazarite. Because we've learned through our study together that today we can make an argument that we, those who are called out from the world to be holy, are the modern day Nazarites, if you will. When we have obeyed the gospel, we have put on Christ. And as we left in that last portion of this morning's lesson, we too have been born into a vow that is from the day that we are reborn until our death. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10 lends this voice. But what we have to understand, brethren, is that we then also must learn from Manoah and his wife that we today, brethren, have a responsibility to raise a godly home in the presence of God. That like Manoah and his wife were chosen by Jehovah God so that they could rear and that they could train this man, Samson, so that he would be able to uphold his Nazarite vow and thus be a judge of Israel. Today, brethren, we've expressed this before through this series. We need more elders. We need more preachers. Quite frankly, we need more faithful Christians, period. And the reason that we are finding ourselves in such a scarcity is because not many have been trained from an early age. Not many parents have been like Manoah and have not asked the question, what will be the boy's rule of life and his work? We, brethren, must understand that whenever the husband and wife are informed, you are pregnant, you have conceived, this should be the question that should be in mind immediately. How will the boy's rule of life and work be? But it should always begin with the spiritual affairs. How will I ensure that my son or my daughter can be a strong and faithful Christian? Because this, brethren, begins from the moment that the child is conceived. We know this because once again observe that Samson had not yet been conceived, and God was already giving instruction to his mother of how she would be instrumental to helping her son fulfill his purpose in life. Indeed, the book of Proverbs teaches us that we are to train up a child in his way, and when he grows old, he would not turn away from it. It is not a guarantee, brethren. Let us make that clarification right now. That is not a guarantee that the child will not depart from his godliness. It is not a guarantee that he will never stop being or never get away from the life that you've trained him in. But rather, within the proper context of the proverb, what that proverb is saying is that you have to mold that child. That you have to train him, and you have to teach him from an early age what his priorities should be. Therefore, if we teach him that the priorities are the earthly, the materialistic, and the carnal, well, it would make sense why he or she is not here this morning, or why they don't give this the priority. Thus, notice how Manoah and his wife began by being chosen by God. And they were chosen by God because clearly they were deemed that they would be responsible in this purpose. That they would indeed uphold these instructions that they had been given. And the proof of this, as we've just read, is the fact that Manoah asks the question. Although his wife had already heard the instructions, notice that Manoah, as the head of the household, is now wanting to hear it for himself. If you will, please turn with me to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis chapter 18. In the book of Genesis chapter 18, there we remember that God has appeared to Abraham and Sarah. He has declared to them that she, within a year's time, would give birth to Isaac. And thus, before and after this has taken place, God is about to send his two angels to Sodom and Gomorrah to see if indeed there is any kind of righteousness left in those towns. And if not, well, we know what happens in Genesis chapter 19. But it's interesting what we find in the midst of all this, beginning there at verse 16. Then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Now notice the following verse. "For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." Notice that God here is not assuming, and he is not guessing. "For I have known him." God is declaring, "I know that Abraham is going to raise Isaac and Isaac's children in the way of righteousness." Let's compare this with chapter 19 now. Chapter 19, beginning there at verse 3. "But he insisted strongly, so they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now, before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally.'" Observe the comparison made by Scripture in these two events. God is declaring, "I know that Abraham is going to train his children in the way of righteousness." And as he's saying this in verse 16, he has just sent his angels to Sodom and Gomorrah to declare if indeed they are found guilty of what has been spoken against them. And the corruption is so deep-seated in Sodom and Gomorrah that the Bible says in verse 4 of chapter 19 that both old and young, all the people from every quarter, wanted to violate those angels. The corruption, brethren, was thorough and it was complete. Because the children were trained up in the way of immorality. You see that? The fathers of Sodom were not godly people. The parents that were found in Sodom, unlike Abraham, did not teach their children in the way of the Lord. They did not teach them how to remain in righteousness and to follow and seek out the justice of God. But instead, they were taught how to be carnally minded. And thus we see, brethren, that in the book of Judges chapter 13, the reason that Manoah and his wife are chosen, remember that in the book of Judges, it is a dark period where immorality ran rampant in the people. But these two people, this marriage was found holy in the eyes of God because they were given the responsibility, which in my mind reminds me of Joseph and Mary when chosen to raise Jesus, the Son of God. Remember that Mary, when she was visited by the angel, was declared to be above the other women. Joseph, brethren, in that selection was also chosen. Because in the book of Matthew, we see that when Joseph, in his righteousness, wants to secretly put away Mary, trying not to besmirch her, most likely trying to ensure that she would not be condemned to death by the law, we see that it is the angel that spoke to Mary who now speaks to Joseph and declares to him to remain with her. And like Manoah was instructed as to what the purpose of Samson was going to be, so was Joseph declared that in the womb of Mary was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. But the parallels that I'm wanting to draw between, brethren, these events is the fact that we notice that the couple that was chosen, the parents that were chosen for Samson, like the parents that were chosen for Isaac, like the parents that were chosen for Jesus our Lord, were already holy and godly people. I know, says the Lord, I know that He will instruct them in the way of righteousness, that He will keep them in the way. Brethren, Psalm 127 verse 3 teaches us that children are an inheritance of God. Those of you who are parents, you received an inheritance from God. You were blessed with a great responsibility. And think about this, if you will, for a moment. God the Almighty trusted you with something precious. And the trust was that you would raise that child in godliness. And that you would be responsible to give that child back to Him in righteousness. Becoming a parent isn't about self-satisfaction, brethren. Wanting to be a parent is not about feeling good or about feeling joy. Those are blessings that are tied to that, but is not the primary reason why we should want children. Go with me to the book of Malachi, chapter 2. And observe that there the Bible tells us and explains to us what should be the spiritual mindset when we are blessed with children in our lives. And this, brethren, is something that both Manoah and his wife had in their mind. Once more, the question that Manoah asks proves this to be so. Chapter 2, beginning there at verse 13. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying. So He does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But He did not make them one. But did He not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? Notice, He seeks godly offspring. He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. Now, let me remind you that God here is speaking to the priests of Israel. He is speaking to the Levites. And what he is declaring here is that during the times of Malachi, divorce was running rampant. But we have to remember, brethren, that marriage is what leads to a family. And the family is the nucleus of a society. When the family unit is godly, and when the family unit is done or is achieved as God has allowed and within His parameters, then we can lead society in the right path. Think about the fact that in the 50s, this country was very family-oriented. And in a mere span of 60 to 70 years, notice how destructive the family unit has been. The priority is no longer building homes. The priority is instant gratification. The fact, brethren, that we even know the horrible statistics of how many abortions are practiced in this nation alone shows how undervalued and how devalued the family has become in our society today. And why is that? Because we, brethren, have lost sight that the purpose of being married is because God seeks godly offspring. You see, Manoah and his wife were already godly. This is why they were chosen. But observe that they understood that the reason why they were chosen was to raise Samson to be godly and to fulfill his purpose. Samson was not given to them so that they can rejoice. Samson was given to them so that they could train him so that he would be the deliverer of Israel when the time rose. Brethren, when we are speaking to our children and we are speaking about their futures, and we bring up the options for careers, how often do we deny or forget to mention that preaching is a good office? How often do we make the negligent decision to not encourage our sons to grow up and to aspire to be an elder one day? But instead, all I've heard in my young life as I've lived and grown up in the church is how often parents discourage their children from being preachers and elders. Because we have forgotten that God seeks godly offspring. How many times when a child expresses the desire to be a preacher, the first thing that comes out from the lips of the parents is, "Boy, you're choosing a hard life." Those are not encouraging words. Samson's life was not going to be easy as a Nazarite. Samson's life was not going to be easy as the deliverer of Israel. The man was going to spend his life fighting to deliver his people from the hands of his adversaries. He was going to be born into a society that was corrupt and immoral. But Manoah did not ask the angel for another parent to be chosen. Manoah and his wife did not discourage Samson from being the judge that he had been given to be. We spoke about the parallels between Joseph and Mary. Mary was instructed, or she was told, when she took the Lord after he was born to present him, "A spear shall pierce your soul." But that did not keep Mary from encouraging Jesus to fulfill his job and his duty as the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Instead, in John chapter 2, we see Mary encourage her son to be who he is. She knew that her son was going to die, and she understood. But she was not selfish. She was not ungodly. She did not put her own preferences and desires before what her son could do for the service of the Lord. Brethren, Manoah and his wife were raising a Nazarite. And they trained him. They taught him. They never discouraged him. In fact, they always encouraged him to do what God had assigned him to do. When Samson grows up and he wants to take of the daughters of the Philistines as a wife, notice how Manoah, as a wise father, responds to Samson. He makes Samson, or he tries to make his son, see reason by telling him, "Are they not daughters here in Israel that you can choose from?" Manoah was reminding his son, "You have been given to us so that you can deliver us from our enemies, not to take us back into them." He was discouraging the sinful action. He was discouraging the unwise decision. And he was bracing, he was reiterating the godly purpose. When our children, brethren, tell us what they want to do with their lives, the careers that they want to choose, do we do the same? Do we discourage those types of decisions that can cause them to lose their souls? But then brace the necessity that the spiritual must always come first. We, brethren, have to understand that we too have been blessed to raise Nazarites in these difficult times. But if you will, go back with me to Judges chapter 13. And remember that in Judges, we started in our Bible study this morning, what happened was that this book, which should not have happened, happened because the parents of the second generation who actually received the promise failed their children in teaching them about God, His works, and His law. Judges chapter 2 verse 10 teaches us that a generation rose that did not know God nor His works and did not know His law. It's interesting that here in Judges chapter 13, we are seeing that they were going to, or rather had the responsibility of making sure that this was not the case with Samson. And I say this because observe the fact that when Manoah asks, verse 13, it says, So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful." Before Samson was born into the world, Manoah and his wife had to, number one, know what the will of God was, so that they, number two, can obey and fulfill God's will. Before they could teach their son how to be faithful and obedient to God, they needed to be faithful and obedient to God themselves. The teaching began, brethren, with the example. You can say the right things and you can tell the right passages to your children, but if your conduct is not one that shows that you believe it yourself, it will not work. It will not work. Your conduct must already be speaking volumes about your faith and why God's words work. They have to be able to see how, as we said this morning in our lesson, the good promises will be fulfilled when we are obedient to God's word. But if our Christianity, if our Nazarite vow is not taken seriously, if we are not abiding by the words, all that God has spoken to us, to uphold them, then what do we think we're going to achieve by telling them, "Do as I say and not as I do"? What will be the child's response? "Well, I've never seen you do it. Why does it apply to me and not to you?" If you will, brethren, go with me to 1 Timothy. And it's interesting. It's interesting because the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, as a father to a son, what he must do and how he is to teach others. We go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Do not neglect the gift of that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy and with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. It's interesting. God, through Paul, does not tell Timothy, preach and teach and then live. No. First, do not neglect the gift that is in you. Manoah and his wife could not neglect the gift that was in her in the form of the child that had been given to her. As parents, when we do not teach our children that the spiritual comes first, that the love of God is truly powerful, and that His Son has died for us on the cross, we have neglected the gift that has been given to us. We have not meditated on these things. We have not given ourselves entirely to them. We're not raising Nazarites, brethren. We're raising more of the same. And the reason is because verse 16, we have not taken heed of ourselves or His doctrine. Because if we were, we would be teaching our children how to be Nazarites from even before they can even speak. Manoah was instructed, your wife cannot drink anything strong. She cannot even eat grapes. She cannot eat anything unclean. And the child will not a razor go through his hair. You will abide by this so that the child can grow up to be the deliverer that he is supposed to be. Today, God still is looking for godly offspring. But we too must abide by God's word. And we must make sure that even from the womb, the child has already been trained in the ways of the Lord. Because if we are not doing so, we are not going to raise a Nazarite. We're going to raise an enemy of God, an adversary to God's word. Because training the child begins by being trained ourselves first. Manoah's question was, what shall the rule of the child be and what is his purpose? Everything, said the angel of the Lord, that I have spoken to the woman, let her observe it. God has blessed us with the gift of children. Let us not neglect that gift, brethren. Let us raise Nazarites even in today's world. Let us be more like Abraham. That we understand that the reason we have been blessed with offspring is because God seeks godly offspring. And that it is God entrusting us that we have the capability and that we have the wisdom, the celestial wisdom, to raise them in the way of righteousness to be deliverers in today's world. This world sorely needs more faithful Christians. We need them, brethren. And they're not going to be born overnight. We have fallen way behind in our responsibility. The fact that our brother had to plead for teachers proves that we're not raising Nazarites as we should. It is my prayer that after this lesson this morning, if you have indeed listened to it carefully, and if you indeed research Scripture diligently to see if I have taught God's Word as I should, that it will encourage you, that it will motivate you to begin raising a Nazarite today. That if you have not ever taught before, that you do so on this occasion. Because we are falling behind. Because like in the times of the judges, we're teaching them how to get careers. We're teaching them how to fill their bank accounts. We're teaching them how to labor in their homes, their yards, and their vineyards. And then we use the excuse of, well, I didn't have enough time to teach them the books of the Bible. And all that I was teaching and raising them, I didn't have enough time to teach them how to properly memorize Scripture. I didn't teach them the value of coming to worship and why it is the best thing that we can do. They were always there because I forced them to be there, but I never explained to them why we needed to be there. I never explained to them what a blessing is and how God was always present in our lives. Because I was at work, or we were always at some sporting event, or we were always on vacation, making memories as a family. And none of those things are bad. I want to clarify that. None of those things are bad. But observe how we make them bad when they replace the godly and the spiritual as priorities. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Manoah and his wife sought first God and His righteousness because they understood this child is a gift from God. And thus it is our responsibility to raise a Nazarite. Now, my friend, you right now have not been consecrated to God. You right now are separated from God, not for God. Because your sin separates you and God. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2 teaches us this. But that doesn't have to continue to be the place. Today, the waters of baptism are available for you to come in contact with the blood of Christ. Today, you can be separated for God. Today, you can begin your lifelong journey of a spiritual Nazarite in today's world. But all you have to do is obey the gospel of Christ. You've already heard the word of truth. Now you have to accept it, which is what it means to believe. You have to stop rejecting it, and you have to change your mind about God's word, which is repentance. And when you have decided to be obedient and stop resisting the will of God, you then have to be willing to confess Jesus Christ as Lord before all men so that He will confess you before His Father and His angels. And after you have done so, you must be obedient to the commandment and be immersed in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins, from which you then will rise to a newness of life. And the first thing that will take place is where you were separated from God, you now will be near God because you will be in Christ Jesus, who is God. All of this takes place by simply obeying the simple commandment of being baptized in the waters for the remission of your sins. Don't you want to become a Nazarite this morning? Don't you want to be separated or called out for the sake of serving God in His kingdom? You know, we too are deliverers in today's world. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 teaches us that we judge the world. But we too are deliverers, because we are delivering those who are ensnared by sin from the grip of sin, because we do it with the sword of the Spirit. Thus, this morning, we want to deliver you with God's gospel, with Christ's gospel, into a newness of life. If you, my brother or sister, have not been fulfilling that vow, if you have not remained faithful to that vow, we can pray on your behalf this morning. We can ask God to not only forgive you, but to give you the wisdom and to surround you with those saints who can help you make those crooked paths right again. If you are subject to our invitation this morning, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing.